going to be dealing with or relating to dreams and dream images. I think that one of the things that they had focused for us, or they want us to focus on, are dream themes, the settings, and there's something else. What?
Situation.
Situation. So we will, relate to these kinds of issues. Now, first of all, could I just get a kind of general idea about how many of you saw the Von Franz films this past weekend? Yeah? How many of you intend to see the Von Franz films?
When are they?
This coming weekend, yeah? Okay. Good. So then, for those of you who have seen the films, we will review some of the themes and some of the things that Marie-Louise von Franz addresses, and then talk about, you know, maybe some of the dreams that I have access to. For those of you who have not seen the dreams, we will preview the films for you, so that you will have also a kind of, you'll be kind of involved in this process that we have today of relating to dreams. For me, I think there is nothing more exciting than working with the unconscious, relating to the unconscious, sometimes, unfortunately, being at the mercy of the unconscious, but in any case, it's my excuse for being unconscious. So, I just think that if we can relate to the unconscious with a bit of humor and a bit of joy, and, of course, a little bit of trepidation, I think we'll get someplace. Now, what are the kinds of things that we have to look at? Well, I think it's very important for us to understand that the unconscious has a system. It is orderly. It is lawful. And I think perhaps one of the clearest ways that I can understand this or maybe present it to you is through a dream. It's a dream that I had one day about an aunt of mine who is definitely my shadow, you know, the opposite, the part of me that isn't, in me isn't very well developed. She's well developed, not me. I mean, in that particular area, she's a strong sensation. She can put wallpaper on the wall and she can stitch curtains. You know, if I have a ham, I have to put scotch tape in it, you know. So, until my neighbor grabs a hold of me and then she hems it up for me. Anyway, so this aunt of mine is very strong in some of these gifts. She's very gifted. But she's not overly intuitive, but in addition to that, you know, she loves her romances as I love my romances, and she doesn't do too much heavy reading. So the dream was this, that one day she had come and I was washing clothes and she put her bag, it was like this, you know, like a carry bag, and she put her bag down. And I saw she had her wonderful romance stories. Then on top of the whole box, or the whole bag of romance stories, she had a book by Jung. I thought, good gracious, that just blew my socks off, because I don't suppose she even knows Jung, and then there's no reason why she should. I mean, I'm not putting her down at all. There's absolutely no reason for her to know Jung. Anyway, so I looked at the title of the book, and you know how all, unfortunately, all those volumes are done in black. So if you're like me, I can't tell you which volume it is because it doesn't have a color. It's not color-coded for me. So everything is black, and so I don't know, I have to go looking through the whole volumes. But if you give me books that have all different colors, then I can tell you exactly what book I read something in, because by the color I know. So whatever that means. So, but anyway, she had her little black-covered book like in the collected volumes. And, and the title of the book was, by C.G. Jung, was Consciousness in the Unconscious. And I thought, well, now that's a very interesting title. I don't think that's in my collection. And I began to reflect on the dream when I woke up, and I began to recognize what this was telling me. That, of course, in the unconscious, there is tremendous what we define as consciousness. In other words, the unconscious knows its job, it knows what it's doing, and with or without your help, it's going to do its job. The job is, of course, individuation. That is what von Franz is addressing in these films. If you recall, for those of you who have seen it, and for those of you who will be seeing it, you will see that there is a kind of lawful, orderly way each one of the half-hour segments is presented. So it'll talk about things like the animus and the anima and the shadow and so on and so forth. Well, see, there's a reason for that. And there is a very simple reason why we have these kinds of names and we call this the animus and this the anima. And the reason has to do with the way we know it. And that too is lawful. What I'm going to talk about is just kind of elementary, and I'm not going to go into too much detail. But, you know, if you look at developmental psychology, you have the toddler. Those little itsy-bitsies that have just barely separated from the mother's body, just barely have the umbilical cord separated, but they cannot survive without the nurturing female. Or the nurturing, whoever does the nurturing, whoever does the thing that helps them to survive. Can be a male, too, if he's got a baby bottle. Now, we have then here an undifferentiated mass. The baby has not, as yet, consciousness in the sense that we know, we call it the ego, but consciousness in terms of knowing themselves from the other. How is this illustrated? How is this seen? It's like watching children, and they try to tell you where they hurt. Like babies will tell you that you know from the cry that something is hurting them, but unless you observe, it's pretty hard to know where it is that they hurt because they're just flailing all over the place, and it could be the inside, it could be outside, it could be a pin sticking. So automatically, the first thing in the old days when we used to have safety pins, the old days you used to first look to see whether any of the pins were sticking. But it's hard just to watch the baby, and they don't really differentiate. So what we have then is undifferentiated consciousness.